Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
The first thing I do want to talk about is for the Dole under the age of 25. Now, before we talk about it, I want you to have a listen to a clip. Now, this is with thanks to RTE and the Tommy Tiernan Show. Now, it's been a minute and a half, and Ted Walsh, of course, the horse trainer, was on being interviewed, or the former jockey, should I say, Katie Walsh, and her father, racehorse trainer Ted Walsh, were on, and they appeared with on the Tommy Tiernan Show. But the kind of conversation flipped around whereby they were interviewing him rather than him interviewing them, if you know what I mean. Have a listen to what happened.
Was the Dole ever an option for...
No.
You never gave the kids the option of the Dole?
No.
That was the greatest thing my father ever done for me.
Right.
He just said, get out of the house. And I spent 6 years on the Dole in Galway, and I have to say that it was the making of me.
Was it?
In what sense? Why?
Because I had freedom. I had freedom to decide what it was that I wanted to do. There were six of us living in a four-bedroom house. One of the bedrooms had no window or natural ventilation. And it used to be a hot press, but we turned it into a bedroom. And we survived it and loved it.
You know? Were they all on the Dole?
Every single one of us is on the Dole, yeah.
And what did you do every day?
We'd get up about 12 o'clock. And then we'd it'd often be warmer outside the house than it was inside the house.
Yeah.
So we'd walk around town for a few hours. And then we'd come back and we'd a big pile of spuds. And we'd eat them. And maybe if we had enough money for meat, we'd have meat. And then we'd have a massive pot of tea and we'd play cards all night. And I did that for 5 years, and I swear to God,
it was making me.
What's your father do?
What's my father do? My father worked for Chagask.
Yeah.
Agricultural advisor.
Yeah.
So that was his gig.
And had, you obviously had a good standard of education.
I didn't do any work in school.
You had your Leaving Cert.
Yeah, but I didn't.
Didn't what?
They gave it to me as I was walking out the gate. They didn't want it.
Yeah, but and after your Leaving Cert, did you have anything?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No.
I'd have considered you now a waster.
I know you would.
You know.
I can see myself calling around to take Katie out for a potato or something. And
I mean, if
come back to Galway for a cup of tea.
If Katie arrived, now look, she obviously your wife is very lucky, the fella she married. But I mean, if you'd arrived into my house and Katie said, "This is my boyfriend. What's he do? He's on the Dole." I said, "He's all right now because you're not picking something better than the fella on the Dole." You know what I mean? Like a fella. Now, I mean, I have nothing wrong with the Dole. People are entitled to the Dole and everything else. But I think a fella of 18 that heads out to become employed by the Dole. It drives me bananas now.
And look where I ended up.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so it was an interesting conversation. And what I want to focus on today is how Ted Walsh said that he would have considered Tommy a waster. He said, "I think that a fella that heads out at the age of 18 to become unemployed or employed by the Dole would drive me bananas now." Now, I want to talk specifically about people under the age of 25 who are on the Dole, specifically people who go on the Dole at 18 years of age. And so it's 24 and under, as they call it, okay? And I'm not talking about, say, for example, a young girl with dependents who might have a child, or a young man who might have a child, for example, if in case the missus ran off or whatever. We're not talking about people with dependents. We're talking about a young, single man or woman on the Dole, between the age of 18 and 24 years of age. I don't care if they're living at home, if they're not living at home, I don't care. The whole point is, should they be on the Dole? No is the answer. There should be no Dole for people, as far as I'm concerned, of people under the age of 24 with no dependents. There shouldn't be a Dole. There is no shortage, and I mean no shortage in this country, of low-paying jobs, minimum wage jobs. Yeah, I know the minimum wage, not the ideal situation, but it's better than the Dole, and it pays better than the Dole, and it saves the government money. You must contribute. You have a moral civic duty to do so. So, you know, there are some people who go on the Dole straight out of school. Some believe it should be banned, that people under the age of 25 or 24 and under should not be entitled to the Dole unless they have dependents. But I want to know what you think today. Do you believe that we should abolish the Dole for those? Now, only by the way, in the last budget, they increased it. Do you remember they dropped it down to €100? Well, they increased it again, depending on your circumstances. They increased it back up to whatever it is at the moment, 200 and something. For people who are under the age of 24, or 24 and under, who were on the Dole, who were sitting at home doing nothing. Think about it. Some young fella, young one, at home, 22 years of age, who's chosen not to go to college, playing his PlayStation or whatever it is they do, and getting paid to do it with your tax money, Meanwhile, there's loads of jobs out there they could take, but they're too bleeding lazy to do it. And their parents let them do that. So let me know what you think. I want you to text or WhatsApp 087-188-0008. Is Ted Walsh right? Should there be no dole for those between 18 and 24? Well, he didn't quite say that, but would you consider people like that wasters who go on the dole straight out of school? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. James, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, James?
Good afternoon to you all. I was watching Tommy Tiernan, actually. I was watching the whole
program.
It was
a wonderful... I have to say, Carol Rice, she's just so inspiring, wasn't she?
Like, yes, young woman. But I did see... I was going to... Before she came on, when she came on, I knew it was not going to be comfortable for Tommy.
Yeah.
Because Tommy mocks people with disabilities.
But that's comedy, you know what I mean?
He doesn't spare anyone, so he was even hinting himself like that. It's kind of dangerous to go into criticising people like himself. And he's right, Niall. He has to go off the Catholic Church, as you know.
Yeah.
He's mock travellers.
He's mock people with Down syndrome.
People who have disabilities love going there because they want to be included now. Mm-hmm. In fact, people who have disabilities, the one thing they don't want to be is left out.
Well, he mocks everybody, so it's fair. It's fair game, you know what I mean?
Yes, okay. It was interesting.
But she was lovely, wasn't she?
I know the people coming on.
Yeah, she was a lovely person, and she was a great speaker, and she was very inspiring.
I did feel sorry for her. Yeah, childhood, and it was terrible.
Awful. I felt so sorry, because you could see she was nearly in tears at one stage talking about her childhood, how other kids used to push her down the stairs and stand on her head.
Yes.
And also, it was awful to listen
to. Of course,
it's
outrageous that people would be able to touch her now.
Touching her for luck.
It's absolutely
like she's a leprechaun or something like that. Yeah.
Awful.
But getting back to Ted Walsh, what Ted Walsh said about people under the age of, you know, who are 18 years of age going on the dole, that they're wasters.
Well,
is
of course,
right?
I've been watching Ted Walsh for years now. The horse trainer, you know, father of Ruby. And, of course, those horse people are incredibly hard workers now. The idea of doing nothing or being idle, they wouldn't be able to understand it now. Mm-hmm. They're up at about 5 o'clock in the morning, getting the horses going and riding them out at 6 and 7 o'clock. So the idea of being on the dole was completely alien to the likes of the Walshes and his children now.
Yeah.
But he's a straight talker. I like straight talkers. Ted Walsh is a straight talker now. But it's not any good anyway for a young fella now. It's no good for his self-esteem if he spends that years in school and comes out, I'm worth nothing more than go on the dole. For a start, and it's not a good start now.
But if it wasn't available to him, and by the way, let's not make this about gender, women, boys or girls, right? If it's not available to him, they wouldn't get it. They wouldn't do it. They'd go out and get a job.
Yes.
If they wanted money.
And also, why not an apprenticeship if you don't want to go to college?
Absolutely,
now?
Yeah.
You get paid while you earn, or get paid while you learn. And as you know, at the moment, we're desperately short of tradespeople now. In fact, I think actually there are too many people going to college now. I think people should be more encouraged towards the trade.
I mean, I there was a woman on the show going back about 2 years ago, and she told me she was actually outside the post office when she was calling us, that her daughter's children's allowance had been cut off that particular day because she had reached 18. And she was bringing her daughter down to the post office to sign her on the dole and put her on the housing list. And I went, you're just planning a future of nothingness for your child. Would you not just tell her to go and get a job instead?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And as you said now, young people now are staying at home longer with their parents anyway. So if they get a job, even if it's not very well paid, they'll have money in their pocket, they'll contribute at home, and then they're starting off with a work record. I mean, if you go on the door for a couple of years, that's put you on a disadvantage straight away now, because a future employer is going to look at that, and he's not going to be very impressed now.
Mm. I mean, and the idea, when I say the idea that there's no jobs, it obviously depends on what part of the country you're living in. It would be more difficult, clearly, in rural Ireland. But, you know, the idea that you can't get a job worth 10 an hour, at minimum wage, which is €10.10 since February when they changed there, is bizarre, because they're gagging for people to work in shops and supermarkets and Aldi's and Lidl's and all these kind of places. And some of the jobs are pretty shitty, flipping burgers or whatever it happens to be. But it's better than being on the dole, and you'll get more money than being on the dole, and you're getting out there, and you're getting up in the morning, and you're getting used to working life.
It's all work experience. Yeah. That all impresses a future employer if he sees someone that is able to get up in the morning and keep a job. Yeah. That's all going to, it's all going to stand to you now.
Okay, well, stay there for a second because Tony, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Tony?
How are you keeping, Niall?
Good. Your son was on the dole at 18.
He wasn't on the dole at 18. I'll tell you what actually happened there. He left college. He had done a year in college. He left college now and tried to get work. Now, he refused to get social welfare. He didn't want it. Now, he tried his best to get work. He unbelievable amount of jobs. He applied for unbelievable amount of interviews.
When was this, Tony? When?
From the time he left college.
No, but when? Was it last year?
Oh, last year. The day he left college last year, up until not longer, he had no other choice but to go up and sign on social welfare. The jobs are not there. There's no good saying the jobs are there. They're not there. He was out. I was bringing him to the job interviews.
And what part of the country are you living in?
In Limerick.
In Limerick. Yeah. Are you living in the city?
Right, just outside the city.
And you're telling me there's no jobs?
The jobs aren't there.
You're telling me there's no minimum wage jobs in Limerick,
there's
in the city?
The minimum wage jobs, there's 50 people going for the one job. It's impossible to get the jobs. Impossible. It's actually shocking if you've seen the amount of people. I brought him for interviews, looked, and I knew there was crowds of people waiting for the one job. You're wasting your time trying to get a job.
I'm not saying I don't believe you personally, Tony, yeah, but the experience I have from my own kids, because they'd be all in around that age, between 18 and 23 years of age, is that if you leave in enough CDs or CVs, you walk into your local shopping centre and you start handing out CVs and you go in every single day, eventually something will come along.
They were handed out now. He was doing it online, doing everything online, ringing, wasting your time.
Why did he only go to college for a year, Tony?
Because that's what the course was he was doing. It was only for 1 year. But at the end of it, I'll tell you now, he got work at the end of it, and the only way he got work was somebody through, it's who you know. That's the only way you're getting work at the moment.
Well, I wouldn't say that is the only reason you get a job nowadays. Maybe in the situation or the location you're in. But I can tell you now, I mean, I can only speak for Dublin, obviously, because I live in Dublin.
Well, Limerick City isn't small, and as you know yourself, it's a big city. Well, yeah. It's getting bigger. But I'll tell you, the jobs aren't here. They're not here. There's no point in there. You may be lucky in Dublin, you're getting work, but they're not getting it here.
All right, James, do you accept that the jobs just aren't there for you?
Well, no. What's that gentleman's name, Tony?
Tony, yeah.
Well, I have to bow to his knowledge of Limerick now. I'm my father was born in Limerick, but I'm not familiar with the day-to-day of Limerick now. So he might be right now. There could be places in the country where jobs are not as plentiful as other places.
And another thing that I meant to say to you as well there. I was just, there's another scheme there that goes on there. It's gone in Limerick. I'm not sure what it goes on everywhere else. It's they're like a community employment scheme. They send people out there now under social welfare and they're going out working for 20 hours a week.
Right, okay.
Under social welfare. That's a disgrace.
Why is it a disgrace?
It's a disgrace. I'll tell you why. It's a social welfare's way of pretending that there isn't so many people on the dole.
Yeah, but they're not getting 20 euro a week.
They're getting an extra 20 euros on top of their
They're getting an extra 20 euro on top of your dole, yes.
I'll tell you now, I know.
So they're not getting 20 euro a week.
But they're not, they're getting an extra 20 euro.
I see, when people say that to me, I'm not working for 20 euro a week, you're not working for 20 euro a week.
My point is now, you see, some of these people have to travel a fair distance to the job. Now, and they're out, and then they have to get their lunch. There's no,
Tony, life is not free, and you know what I mean? I understand, when you're 18 years of age, you know, you have to get out there and do your bit. And
but I'm trying to say, there is people out there trying. It's not the simple fact that the jobs are there. There's a lot of places the jobs aren't there.
So what do you think of what Ted Walsh said on the television, that anybody drawing the dole at 18 is a waster?
Well, they're not a waster. That's a disgrace to say something like that about people. Especially when there's people out there looking for work. It isn't. Maybe there's a certain amount of people out there that don't want work, but there is a lot of people that do want it and just can't get it.
So you're telling me there's no jobs?
There isn't. In Limerick, you come down and see it yourself.
I'm taking your word for where the location you're in.
Yeah, the location I'm in is a big city. Limerick
okay, well, Paul in Limerick has just texted. He says, Niall, shops and other places in Limerick are crying out for young people. Well, he's full of crap.
Well, tell him give him the phone number of the shops that are looking out for people and you ring them and ask them, will they take on somebody if it comes in? So they won't take a man. I guarantee you they won't take a man.
You know, I'm only reading out the text that Paul said. Yeah. Another person, I'm reading here, another person in Limerick, there's plenty of jobs in Limerick. I have friends in Glen West Limerick, travelling to Limerick City every single day and to work in McDonald's and Penny's. They're travelling 45 to 50 minutes every single day.
Well, there isn't. The jobs aren't there. I'm telling you here and now.
I find it difficult to believe, Tony. Well, I don't know, were you with your son when he was going out looking for these jobs?
Yeah.
Because I find it difficult to believe that. Now, I'm not saying you're going to get the best job in the world. They're shit jobs, usually.
Well,
you know what I mean?
As long as the job is a job.
Another person says, I'm living in Limerick all my life. The guy I have on the air is not telling the truth. There's loads of jobs in Limerick.
Well, if there is loads of loads of jobs in Limerick. Like, get the people to come on here, there, to an essay and offer the jobs, and we'll see. They'll be all taken up straight away.
Now, again,
you won't get one phone call.
They're not going to be good jobs. When I say not going to be good jobs, they're going to be minimum wage jobs.
Well, even if they are minimum wage, now, get these people that have these minimum wage jobs, come online with you and give out their phone number to give the people the jobs, and I guarantee you, you won't get one person to ring you.
But now?
Yeah, sorry, James.
Well, if I was that young man now, and I was young and fit, obviously young and fit, I'd go into Limerick City and I'd spend the whole afternoon, let alone just go to business now.
No, he got a job. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He has a job, because
yeah.
We got one out of who we know. It's not what you know in Limerick, it's who you know. If you know somebody, you'll get into the job. If you don't know somebody, you won't get it.
Yes, but I mean, the idea of staying at home now and sending out CVs, that doesn't do what. If I was 18 years old and I wanted a job in the city here, I'd start this afternoon, 9 o'clock in the morning, and I'd go into each business, ask to see the manager,
yep.
Ask him how to go, and leave my CV there if you had nothing, and I just, you know, to keep you fit, to keep you active, and then people would admire that, you know, that you're going around and going to business, not necessarily, they might necessarily be advertising jobs, but just asking now.
Yeah, okay, well, somebody here says, my son is 17 and looking for a part-time job and can't get one, we live in Dublin. Okay, well, the point is he's 17, he's under 18. A lot of jobs will be reluctant to hire him under the age of 18.
That's another thing now.
Yeah, well, hang on, let me just finish up. So he may get a part-time job at 17, which, by the way, the minimum wage is a lot less. But you can't claim the dole at 17 anyway. Yeah, sorry, go ahead, Tony.
That's another thing I meant to say to you as well, Niall. The likes of supermarkets, the likes of Dunn stores and all places like that. My son was looking for work for them when he was under 18 at the time he was going to college, and he asked them for work. They refused to give people work under the age of 18 because of alcohol sold in the store.
Yeah, but that's right, yeah.
But that's stupid, Kerry. I mean, where do all these new rules come out of?
Yeah, well,
haven't got jobs.
A lot of the employers won't take on people under the age of 18 for there's insurance reasons and all sorts of other reasons.
Oh no,
too.
It wasn't insurance. It was
I'm just saying because I mean you are hiring a minor. You know what I mean? So
well, sure,
there is some places will take them on.
I mean, you're only asking them to say if they're inside in the shop and if they're stacking shelves, they can't stack the shelves because of alcohol. No.
Yeah, I mean
that's the most stupid rule that I've ever seen in my life.
Well, we're certainly not going to start bringing in dole for 16 and 17 year olds. Another person says my daughter just turned 16 last week. We looked around for a part time job. We had one. Got one for her in one day in Limerick, says Paul. Another person said, I'm also in Limerick. I have four children. Oldest two both work part-time, age 20 and 18. All their friends work too. Plenty of jobs for kids who are looking to get themselves out there. Not those who send their parents looking for them, says Anne.
I'm only telling you loads of texts coming in.
I can read them all out to you, Tony.
Yeah,
and they're all saying that their kids are working in Limerick and they're working in part-time jobs. And I find it difficult to believe that an 18-year-old can't get a job.
You might get work experience jobs in Limerick where you're not getting paid. You might get them because they'll take people on work experience. You don't have to pay them.
Well, no, I'm talking about minimum wage jobs.
Yeah,
part-time, even part-time.
Yeah, well, part-time, but they're not there. I'm telling you they're not there. I know.
There's none there at all. So we're officially in this country at the lowest unemployment rate in the history of the country, by the way.
Yeah, because, you see, we are at the moment because, you see, if somebody goes out, right, what I tried to explain to you a while ago, these CE schemes, if someone goes out...
Yeah, but they're not all on CE. That accounts for a small percentage of people.
There's an awful lot, now, let me tell you, in the area I'm living in, there's an awful lot.
Yeah, but that will account for some people, by the way, who are on CE schemes. And a lot of those who are on CE schemes are people who don't want to work, by the way.
They are.
And I know somebody who works in the CE scheme department, and he told me that half the people don't even turn up for the courses. He said there are people that are being sent there by the social welfare who don't even want to be there.
In a lot of cases. Well, now there's a few people that I know.
They're just doing it so they get their dole.
I know, well, they're not an ass. There's a few people down out of the road and they're actually on it.
Now, okay, and that's great, by the way. That's great for those who want to get out and just do something.
But they wanted to get extra work out of it. They can't get it.
Yeah.
Now, when they were on these schemes, right, these schemes are only designed to show, let the government show that the unemployment level is dropping. It's not dropping.
Okay, well, by the way, Demo says employment work schemes paying €20 on top of your dole is a disgrace. It's way below the minimum wage. Working 40 hours, €210 is a disgrace, says Demo. You're right, Demo. It is a disgrace. So get out and get a job, and then
hours.
You wouldn't have to be on it.
It's not 40 hours. You do 4 hours a day.
Well, you don't. You only do part. It's only part time. It's 20 hours a week, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. So, Demo, you're wrong about the hours, by the way. So technically, if you were doing a full week, you'd be getting 420 if you were doing a full week, so to speak, but you're not going to be doing it for a week. And if you don't like it, Damon, just go and get a job.
How are you doing, Niall? Yeah, I'm enjoying the show. I watched Tommy on the TV the other night with the Walsh family. When Ted described him as a waster, Tommy was on the dole 32 years ago, where that was a derogatory name towards young people, you know? I think to be calling young people this day and age wasters, it's a derogatory term, you know? Young people have it hard enough. And you know yourself, the suicide rate is very high in young people, you know? So I think people need to watch their language when they're talking about young people. They're supposed to be encouraged and nourished, you know? So, yeah, I think it's a very loose term, and I wouldn't be talking about young people like that. Nobody wants to rear a waster. But there you go. Different times, 32 years ago compared to today. Thanks, Morris.
Yeah, by the way, somebody says, no, for Tommy Tier or for Ted Walsh to refer to people on national television who are on the dole and struggling as wasters is absolutely disgraceful. Well, he didn't. He referred to 18-year-olds. But, Michael, let me go to you. Michael, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Michael?
Not too bad.
Okay, so he was specifically talking about 18-year-olds on the dole, Michael.
Yeah.
You know, as and referred to them as wasters. Or, well, Tommy Tiernan referred to as a waster. Is he not right? I mean, realistically, if you're 18 and you're out of school and you're not going to college, there's loads of jobs. People are texting here like mad, telling me all the jobs that are available everywhere. Now, they're not great jobs. I don't want to flip a burger, Michael, you know, for a tenner an hour. But, like, if I hadn't got another job, that's what I'd do.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a multifaceted thing. Like, it's not just... You know, not everyone is able-bodied and able to get out and walk.
Then they're on a disability allowance. That's a completely different thing altogether. Well, we're talking about able-bodied people.
Well, I think the criteria for disability is that you have to be actually disabled. You have to prove your disability.
There's a huge argument going on at the moment that there's a lot of people claiming disability in this country who are not actually disabled at all. But hold on, that's a whole other argument.
Okay.
Yeah. We're talking about, let's just clarify, we're talking about able-bodied people here, boys and girls.
Yes.
Yeah. You know?
Well, I mean, psychologically, able body, what about the mind? You know, it's a big thing in this day and age. Like, there's a lot of people that just, you know, who grew up. You know, I'm not making excuses here.
It sounds like you are making excuses.
I'm just throwing a spanner in the works. I'm just, you know, trying to broaden out the conversation. But
Being on the dole is not going to help your mind, is it?
No, I know. I understand that. But, yeah. If you grow up in a home with whatever, you know, a normal, decent home or whatever, and you're encouraged to work and all that kind of thing, and, you know, you're shown the importance of education, you're shown what education can actually create for your life moving forward and all that kind of thing, that's great. But there's a lot of people who are growing up in dysfunction, and, you know, my kind of point that I wanted to make was, I just know this in my heart and soul, that if you cut the welfare for people below 25, you're going to have a massive increase in crime. I think the dole kind of keeps some people sedated. You will have house robberies and people get mugged and this kind of thing. So that's kind of what I wouldn't do it on based on that.
What you're saying is we should pay people to avoid them going out and committing crimes and robbing the money.
No, I'm not saying that we should just get up every morning with the intention of, okay, let's you know, keep these people over here happy by giving them the dole. Just recognising the fact that if we did cut the dole, that we would create problems for ourselves.
I mean, there's a genuine idea about, and many other countries do it, and somebody says here, I seriously think that we should consider some sort of conscripts or military school away from regular army if by the age of 19 or 22 the person hasn't sought employment, at least for a 12-month period. Regardless of education, no pay, maybe a small expense on a day off, give them civic duties to do. How can other nationals get jobs when they arrive here in Ireland? It's about positivity. And that comes in from Paul. Another person says, Niall, I work in Limerick, I own a business in Limerick, and I've advertised jobs on numerous occasions, and Irish people don't apply. It's in the hotel industry, and I mainly get foreign nationals coming looking for the job. There's loads of people locally who are unemployed, but they never come near me looking for a job every time I advertise one. So, I mean, this is part of the problem, isn't it? Why would you want to get up off your hole if you're 18 years of age, go out and get a minimum wage job, but the state's going to give you money anyway?
Yeah, well, you know...
Well, for some people, not all, obviously, you know what I mean?
It's not going to last. First, this welfare thing is going to last. It's not.
We're going to run out of money eventually, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to last. What's your incentive? If you're 18 and you've no education and you had a dysfunctional upbringing and you weren't told, get an education, go out there, and maybe you could be...
You don't
learning
need,
to say,
I mean, with the greatest respect, Michael, you don't need an education to get a job.
Let me make the point.
Okay, go on.
People, life isn't that black and white. There's people out there with like learning, who are normal people, but they have learning difficulties, dyslexia, all sorts of problems. Mm-hmm. they can't just go out and, you know, education might have been a right struggle for them growing up. They can't just, you know, go out and achieve. If you can get €200 on the dole and €380 on minimum wage for a 40-hour week, well, which one are you going to choose? Like, you're probably going to choose the 200.
Well, I know which one I'd choose. I would like to think, Michael, you would choose the job too. Well, but the education is not an argument.
I'm aware of my abilities. I'm just aware that there's other people out there that don't have the ability to get up and do things.
But you mentioned education. Generally speaking, minimum wage jobs don't require education. Unless you can't add two and two, you know, at a counter in a retail sector, or maybe pick up a shovel. That doesn't require education. Turning a burger and serving a few chips in a restaurant doesn't require an education.
You're right. You're absolutely right, but there's no future in that. And no one wants to spend the rest of their life.
Of course there's
no.
By the way, I never suggested there was a career future in working in a supermarket, or, you know, unless you want to get into management, or working in a chipper. But at the end of the day, it's a job that might lead on to another job. And your da and ma, I'm sure, have always told you, Michael, it's always easier to get a job when you're working.
Yeah, but it's not that. Firstly, it's not that black and white, because there isn't that many great jobs to move on to. And we have a case here in Ireland where we've kind of created a situation where we have kind of like easy money kind of thing with this welfare thing, right? And I'm sorry to open this door, I'm not being racist, but when we've opened the door for the country, we've got people coming in here doing jobs that Irish people should have been doing or should be doing. And we've got people coming into this country based on, basically, they've been told in their country that if you come to Ireland, they have a generous welfare state. Who wants to come to Ireland? A cold, wet,
By the way, it's a coincidence you mentioned that, because yesterday I got my car washed, right?
Right.
And I was up in Belfast, by the way. And I got my car washed in one of the local garages, and there's a Romanian family. There's about 10 of them. And it's a fiver, and they do a really wonderful job, and they're out the door, right? There's queues of cars getting their car cleaned. And I said, when Brexit happens, these individuals here could be out the gap, because the likes of these people will not probably be able to get into Great Britain. And they serve a purpose. Local Northern Irish people weren't doing it. Now, they're making a few quid. I'm sure they're making a fair few quid, actually, because they're out the door. They're mad busy. And they work hard. And there's a lot of foreign people come into this country and work hard in jobs that Irish people just will not do. And the reason they won't do it is because they can get 200 quid on the dole.
Exactly.
But that's not acceptable, Michael. That's an attitude.
I never said it was. But you've also got people coming into this country who aren't working like that. They're coming into this country and they're getting houses and they're getting welfare and they've never contributed one
thing. Okay, well, hang on for a second. Let me just go to Marco on that note, by the way, on somebody who's come into the country recently. Marco, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Marco?
Hi, Alan. Hi.
Good. Sorry I'm really stuck for time, Marco, but you moved here, and how quickly did you get a job?
It took me around 10 days.
10 days to get a job.
Yeah.
So when you hear Irish people saying, I can't get a job, what do you say?
I think it's ridiculous, because my first job was in hospitality industry, in restaurants. And we got a lot of times parents sending a CV or bringing a CV for their child.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of person will not get a job if you're dad.
So their
or
mothers
mom.
And fathers were dropping the CVs in for them. They weren't even doing it themselves.
Yes. And we did get a couple of, I would say, kids, 18 to 20-year-old employed, that would show up or drunk or not show up because they were hangover. And then I got told once that that I'm taking the job because I'm the immigrant from their child.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're coming over here and taking all our jobs.
Yeah. And, you know, you don't want to do that. And that was 5 years ago, and it was almost €11 per hour.
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't want it.
Where are you from, Marco? Where are you from?
Croatia. We talked about 2 weeks ago.
We did, actually. And I remember looking up statistics recently, by the way. Croatians, Polish, Latvians, Lithuanians have the lowest unemployment rate, Michael, in Ireland. The lowest unemployment rate, because Croatians and Latvians and Polish and Lithuanians, they come over here and they want to work, Michael, and they'll take jobs sometimes. Well, you look in the hospitality industry, in the retail sector, they'll take the jobs the Irish just won't do.
So are you saying that they have the lowest unemployment rate when they're in Ireland or when they're in their home
country? No, in Ireland.
Yeah, exactly. And why are you coming here? Because there's no work in your own country, because your own country is a shambles, but you'll come here and you'll criticize.
What difference does that make? He's coming here for a better life. He's willing to work. He's not going to sit around on the dole.
I am not criticizing him for that. And you know what? Fair play to you,
Yeah, he's contributing.
But hang on for a second. What are you paying out in rent? How many people are you sharing a house with? What outgoings do you have? What you, these are all the questions you need to ask here.
It's me and my fiancé in a one-bedroom apartment.
One-bedroom apartment. Okay.
Him and his fiancé.
So you're sharing the rent, yeah?
Yeah. But why is this all even relevant, Michael? The point I'm trying to make is Mark will come over here. The point he's making is he got a job very quickly. If you're willing to work at 18 or 19 years of age, if you're willing to work, there are jobs out there. The whole argument today is that it's unnecessary to pay the dole to people under the age of 24 who are able-bodied, who don't have dependents. It's unnecessary. They should be working. We have the lowest unemployment rate we've had in the history of the state. John, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, John? I'll come back to Michael when he sorts himself out in a second. John.
Hello, how's things?
Good, John. How are you?
Not so bad.
Right, John, what do you want to say?
What I'm saying, your members calling them teenagers wasters, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, I know from experience, right, going back, I'm up my 50s, I put it that way, right? My education wasn't great with my reading and writing.
And yeah, go on.
Me personally, to get a job, I found it totally impossible. But what I had to do, I had to get someone to do a CV up for me, right, and put a different address on it, where I could get a job. Basically, on the city,
yeah,
was online.
I was in the same boat, John. I remember I was, because I was from Edenmore, and right? Edenmore had a bad reputation. So I used to put Rohini on my CV.
Yeah, well, personally, I have families down in Cork, in Dublin, and in Galway. No, personally, I'm from Limerick myself, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, there is a part of Limerick. You have South Hill, you have Weston, you have Moyrás, you have the Island Field.
Which all have really high unemployment rates, yep.
Really? Yeah. But if any of our youths today, right, go in with a CV with that address down at it, they're told, oh, the vacancies have been filled, or we ring you back. For instance,
with respect, when you look at places like a lot of the places you mentioned, and I could mention a load of them here in Dublin and in Cork as well, right? But when a lot of these places, social welfare is generational. So their mum or their dad will sign them up when they're 16 years of age and they're cut off their children's allowance. They'll bring them down. If they're a girl, they'll bring them down and put them on a housing list. And they'll sign them up on the dole. And if they're a young lad at 18, they go straight down and go on the dole when they're 18 years of age because their mum and dad will tell them to do it.
Yeah. But I'll put it this way, right? My own daughter, right, when she turned 17, she left secondary school, yeah?
Yeah.
No, she had what she needed, her paperwork and that. I brought her out to KFC, she had a CV, right, gave it in to them with her address on it. Or they said, sorry, this position has not been filled, right?
Yeah.
We went home, I was thinking about it 2 or 3 days later, and my brother said it to me. He says, John, put a different address on it. For argument's sake, right?
Yeah.
So if we put an address on, say, for instance, sake, Mealy, County Clare, right?
Yeah.
We've been back out with the CV. Everything else was the exact same, but the address was changed, right? My daughter was actually given the job there and then, and she was refused 2 days before.
No, I know. I'm not going to disagree with you. That sometimes areas have bad reputations and employers are aware of those reputations. And it is a sad fact of life, but that's been going on for years. As I said to you, I was in the same boat. I was from Edenmore.
Yeah.
And I didn't put Edenmore on a CV. Or if I went to a nightclub, for example, I wouldn't, in the dorm, I said, where are you from? I used to say Rohini. I would never say I was from Rohini or Edenmore.
Yeah.
Because you just wouldn't get in or you wouldn't get the job. That was just the way it was. And you're right, that really hasn't changed. But the reason is because a lot of the disadvantaged areas have a high unemployment rate and the social welfare is generational. And there is a high crime rate from a lot of these places too.
There is, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I totally agree.
And that's why employers sometimes, not all, but sometimes employers will take a chance on people. Employers sometimes are a little bit cautious. So you're right. Just lie.
Here's another thing. That fella that said that these teenagers, right, they're scoring an 18 or whatever, right? They're wasters. Ask him, what area is he from?
Yeah, but I think the point he's making is that there's no reason for an 18-year-old to be unemployed. in a modern art, in 2020, all well and good, 2010, you know, jobs were difficult to get, particularly minimum wage jobs. But right now, at the moment, there is no reason for an 18-year-old to be unemployed.
Sure, if they can't get the work, what can be done?
But you're telling me they can't get the work. They can get the work. It's out there. There's loads of restaurants, hotels, shops, burger joints, chippers, and shop supermarkets. They'll take them on. They're crying for staff. They can't get them. Let me just go back to Michael, because I think he might have had a problem with the radio. Michael, are you there now?
I am indeed.
What were you doing? Were you listening to yourself on the radio?
No. There was a bit of bad line there now. But
Okay. Sorry, but Michael. My apologies. Okay, sorry, Michael. Okay.
No, you're all right.
You came here 15 years ago from Poland.
Yes, in 2005. January.
Okay. Well, that was kind of, we were booming at that stage, yeah.
Yeah. It was at the peak of it, all right.
Yes, of course.
No English, though. Absolutely none of it. Like, right, yes, no, excuse me, that's it.
Yeah.
So I got a shitty job. Excuse my French.
Yep.
I worked in a sweatshop for a year. I got my head around. I worked more. I got another job. I moved on. I upskilled. I moved on again. And since I landed on the 8th of January, I worked every single day.
Okay. So now you've got...
And I bought a house.
You've just bought a house?
6 years ago.
Congratulations. And well done to you for doing what you're doing. So when you hear about 18-year-olds on the dole... Straight out of school and on the dole. What do you think?
Well, basically, I shouldn't be giving any dole to anyone unless it works. Pay stamps for at least a year.
Right. Okay. So in other words, they should have to do something for the dole.
Yeah. So if you straight out of school like that, you go into the job for a year, then you qualify for dole.
Oh, I get what you mean. In other words, you have to make some contribution to the country before you get the dole. Yeah. Or even if they do, but here's a plan. If you're 18 and you want to go on the dole, well and good, but then the local council will have you doing things. So go out there and paint the fence.
Oh, yeah.
In your local community centre.
100%.
In your local community centre or whatever.
Yeah, 100%. Or like the kind of military schools that was mentioned, like, early on, like on the radio. Like, I think that's perfect idea. Some sort of kind of like a, I don't know, like courses. So they can actually get some trade, especially from the disadvantaged areas, where, as you mentioned, some addresses are not really likable by the employers. Then they can actually say, listen, I spent like 6 months on that course run by the army. I've learned it such as such. So I prove myself in the kind of a civil service, you know, air quote kind of like environment, and this is my references.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that would be a wonderful idea. And I think, you know, the idea that using excuses, be it an address, or be it he can't get a job, or be it we live in rural Ireland, or be it, they're all just excuses. I mean, let me just go back to John. Oh. John, are you still there?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, well, Michael is making a good suggestion there that, you know, you shouldn't get the dole unless you've at least done a year's work. And even if you haven't done any work, you shouldn't be getting the dole for sitting on your bottom. You know, give it to them, but they have to do a bit of community work or maybe, you know, do a bit of training or something for it rather than sitting down playing with their PlayStation all day.
Finn, and here's another thing, right?
Would you agree with that, John?
No, I don't.
Why not? So no, you I want don't. To give it to people to sit in their bum?
No, I don't agree with that either.
Well, what do you agree with, John?
Well, what it is, the youths, as I told you before, when they approach anyone to get a job and whatever they're from, they're being turned away. Point blank, yeah? Now, there's one thing I can tell you here and now, and as soon as my mother's up in heaven, I'm not racist by a long shot. Not by a long shot, because I have the best of friends from Jamaica, from Poland, from India, right? I have the best of friends. And they're even saying this to me. He says, Joe, why is Ireland going so bad? I said, I'll tell you what. I said, look, I'm not being funny. I said, the immigrants are coming into this country.
And taking all our jobs.
No, fair enough, right?
John, are you going to say it? Just spit it out and say it. The immigrants are coming into the country and taking all the jobs. Is that what you're saying?
Not all.
I'm going to...
Ah, stop.
Young people.
No, hang on. I read out a text earlier on, John, from a guy in Limerick who has a restaurant stroke hotel type business. And he said every time he puts a job in the paper, none of the locals, who he knows they're all unemployed, come looking for the job. The only people that come looking for the job are foreign people. He mentions Polish and Lithuanians. Are the only ones coming looking. Why? Because they want to work.
No.
Yeah, sorry, Michael.
I often hear that, like, they live in, like, a town in one, kind of a one-bed apartment, so they pay in feco, they drive in one van, you know, they eat in cans and that kind of crap, like,
yeah.
Right? So that was kind of a need at the first year, well, 6 months when I arrived.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You don't know where you are.
Yeah, you make sacrifices, yeah.
What the artist, that's it. And then after 3 or 4 months, I had, like, a two job, one the full part, and then part-time one. So I wanted to get as much money as possible, get my wife over, get the kid over as well. Second kid was born in here, so and that's
so you. So you came over here first, and you set up shop. Basically, you came over, got yourself a job, got a bit of money before you got your wife to come over with your child.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
good,
we
good plan.
To rent apartment for months, right? And then we moved on again. Then we rented the house when the second kid came home, and then after a while, then we bought a house, and that's.
Absolutely.
Now.
No, I couldn't. Well done, Michael. And that's the way you do things. That's the way things should be done. And we're all part of the European Union now. But the point is, John, you can't be blaming the foreigners on taking the jobs.
All of the minute now, right?
That's what you're saying to me.
Yeah, I am in a way, yes.
Fair play to them if they're working.
No, yeah, fair play to them, yeah.
Yeah.
The thing with our government, yeah?
Yeah.
They opened up the gate so much that there was too many come into our country.
Well, we're part of Europe now. We're not talking about non-EU citizens, by the way. We're talking about Europeans, yeah.
Yeah, Europeans.
Yeah, they're quite entitled to come here.
They are quite entitled.
And if you want to go to Poland to get a job, sure, off you go.
Here's another system. And it's a lovely country.
It is. Right? Why are you blaming the foreigners? But go on.
It's as simple as this, right? It's on the news 24/7. Ye seen it, I seen it, right?
Yeah.
Here's another thing. All young people, elderly people in Dublin, I was ashamed, I don't know what way to put it, I seen an 86-year-old woman sleeping in a doorway in Dublin,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
An Irish nationality, yeah?
Well, it turns out she wasn't actually 86 in the end, but go on, yeah, I know the story you're talking about.
Well, besides the point.
Beside the point, she shouldn't be sleeping in a doorway. But the part, you know, there's a lot of, John, you can't just throw out stuff without the background to the story. The woman had other issues.
Yeah.
All right, it's not everybody's fault that a poor woman ends up sleeping on the street or a poor man ends up sleeping on the street at that age. The woman had other issues.
The more people are coming into our country, yeah?
Yeah.
And they'll be put up in hotels.
Who?
Different places.
Who?
Our people is left on the freaking streets to suffer.
Now, you're making spurious claims here, John. Nobody is coming into the country and getting anything ahead of anybody else. If somebody comes into the country and they're entitled to something, just like the people who are sleeping on the streets. There are very few people sleeping on the streets, by the way. In most cities, by the way, I mean, particularly, I suppose, Dublin being the capital city, there's probably about 160 people sleeping on the street. In Limerick, there's probably about 80 people sleeping on the street at night. Those people are being offered hostels and accommodation. They have other problems, John. Other problems.
Right.
You can't just... you're making silly remarks now. And as for, you know, foreigners coming in from Europe and taking our jobs, look in the hospitality industry, look in the hotel industry and in the retail sector and Aldi and Lidl and all these other places, and you see so many foreigners working there. It's because they want to do the job. They want to work.
Yes.
Yeah, well, what's wrong with that?
I know three companies, and I won't mention their name, yeah?
Yeah.
And if you're my mentor, no, he's gifted with his hands a carpentry. Right?
Yep.
Gifted.
He'd
do anything, Phil.
Yep.
Finance those kitchens, anything. Oh. Right? He went to three companies and he said, right, what's the basic wage? What's the basic payment per hour a day?
Right.
For instance, like, how much is it? I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. Oh, well, it works out at a little over 10 euro per hour.
Over 10 euro.
So, yeah, but it'll be 80 euro per day, roughly, yeah.
Yeah. My next job, right? He showed him what he could do. He was in there for 2 days with him. Right. They called him into the office, and I was actually there because he asked me to come with him. There, but only offered him $5.75 an hour.
Well, he should report them because that's illegal.
No, this...
Are they reputable companies? Well, well, that's elite. There's no reputable company offering to pay somebody €5 per hour, because if they are, that's illegal. They could be reported and closed down tomorrow. So that's illegal. So I don't know where you're getting, unless he was working for cash.
No,
he was working on the books, they didn't offer him €5 an hour. And if they did, it's illegal. He should report them. All right, let me go to Niamh. Niamh, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Niamh?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
I'm hearing stories here now that sound ridiculous, to be honest with you. But go on. Sorry, Niamh. What do you want to say? Well, you wanted to say your husband left school at the age of 16 and has 15, a story. You have a story, yeah.
15 years old, he left school. He was involved in a lot of crime from a child, basically.
Yeah.
He didn't have much of support at home to stay at school, so there was no incentive to stay there. So he left school.
And when was that? How long ago was it, by the way?
Oh, that's 10 plus years ago now.
All right, okay.
So he just about finished his uni, so it didn't get very good results in that. So
right, okay.
Left school, got a bit deeper in crime. Nothing too major, like, but just that in the maggot, really.
Yeah.
I went on until he was about 20, 21. He just thought to himself, where is this going? Like, when's this going to end? Like, you know.
Well, we all know where that's going. We all know where it's going to end, in jail somewhere, yeah.
He came to that.
Yeah.
Came to that conclusion, like, and he decided, look, I have to make a change in my life. So he went back. Don't need leaving cert. He'd done it with students a lot younger than him, so that was tough enough, like, to go back.
Yeah, yeah, his pride was at stake as well, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Especially for a young fella, like.
Yeah.
But got back anyway, got his leaving cert done, got good results. He really put the work in. Went for his first job, which was a bin man, minimum wage.
Yeah.
Started from the bottom and worked his way up. Now he's in a reputable job, good paid job, managerial role.
Well done to him.
Living proof that.
Absolutely, you can do it if you want to. Well done to him. Congratulations. I'm delighted to hear he turned his life around. And I'm sure you've supported him all the way too, yourself.
Of course, yeah, of course.
And that's great, and it's great if you can get a bit of support. And look, I am absolutely delighted to see that a young man who was heading in the wrong direction, clearly, at one stage in his life, suddenly made the decision to change the direction of his life, and successfully did it. That's wonderful. It's great, yeah, great story to hear. You know, it just goes to show for people out there, for young fellas out there at the moment who may be in the wrong, you know, pointing in the wrong direction, that they're, you know, you can change.
You can, of course you can, yeah. And that's the thing, that's the point I just wanted to comment to make, was that if you want work, you will get it.
If you try.
As you said, I'm hearing you saying it nearly every week now. You get out there, you give your CV, then wherever you go.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's picking up classes in a bar, no matter what it is.
Sure, the guy on the air here last week, we were talking about something else, and he said he couldn't get a job. Mm-hmm. And I said, when was the last time you get? He said, oh, I'm giving out CVs all the time. And I said, when was the last? Oh, this was the couple that were living up at the Phoenix Park in the tent.
I heard that.
Yeah, and he says, I'm giving out. And I said, when was the last CV? Oh, before Christmas sometime. Sure, mm-hmm. How are you going to get a job if you're randomly just giving out the odd CV every few months?
That's and it was 10 years since he worked, wasn't it?
10 years or something. He said he had a sore finger. He had a sore finger.
That's it, exactly. Yeah. But that's the attitude, you see. That's the way that the country's run. Like, you know, if you want social welfare, you get it. Like, that's the unfortunate thing about it. There's, for some reason, there's more of an incentive to go on that and live that lifestyle rather than go out and earn it.
Well, look, well done to you, and well done to your husband too. And is your husband? It is your husband now, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Okay, well, when he comes home tonight, give him a big hug from me and tell him well done, all right? You should be so proud of him. All right, thanks for that. Let me just go to Roy as well. Roy, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Roy?
Hey, Noel.
How you doing, Roy? Good story. It's nice to hear a great story like that where somebody could turn their life around, you know, heading for a life of crime, heading for a jail, essentially, and went back and did his leaving cert, and now he's in a good job.
Yeah, 100%. You know, all credit to the man. He deserves everything he has, you know?
Yeah, okay, but you have a 17-year-old son.
Yeah, he's been applying for part-time jobs, but he's still in school since September. And he applied to around, I would say, between 8 and 10 companies, like as your Aldi's, your Lidl's, Dunstore, Tesco's, Super Value, Iceland, one of these, you know, these jump zone things that the kids do, you know, this.
Yeah. My daughter works in one of those type places.
And he hasn't got an email, he hasn't got a text, he hasn't got.
I know. It can be disheartening when nobody bothers to reply, but I suppose the argument is you have to keep trying. You know, I mean, it could take 30 CVs, it could take 40, but you have to keep trying. And by the way, it is harder when you're under 18. It is harder.
Is that the problem? Is it because if you get a job in, say, Tesco's or Dunn's, you're not allowed in near, say, alcohol section, or you're not allowed to work after a certain time at night? Is that the problem?
It's complicated. For a lot of these businesses, it's complicated to employ somebody under the age of 18 because you're employing a minor. So it is more difficult. And there's a lot more rules. You know?
They don't want the hassle of it. Is that what it
well,
is?
Well, I think for a lot of the companies, they probably don't want the hassle. Yeah. It's probably easier to employ somebody 18 and pay them the extra 2 or 3 euro, because I know the minimum wage for under 18 is lower. It's actually only about 7 euro, I think, or something like that.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The minimum wage of 10 euro doesn't apply to a 17-year-old. I think the minimum wage for a 17-year-old, if I'm not mistaken, is somewhere around the 750 mark. I think it's a little bit lower, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just listening to what you were saying about all the different jobs available, and I was saying, where are they? You know what I mean?
But yeah, well, I think his problem is he's 17. When he hits 18, he'll find it much easier, I imagine. You know,
yeah, it's just a part-time job.
I know, yeah, but I know my kid. Now, my son got a part-time job when he was under 18 in the local Eurospar across the road. So they'll hire him. You know, I know my daughter got in one of those jump type places, jump zone type places. She was working there. She's been there for the last 2 years now, and she's only 18.
So the method is just keep sending out more CVs.
Yeah, I would just what I did and what I said to my own children at the time, and my son now who's 23 as well, ended up working in Easons and a couple of other shops as well, is just go to your local shopping centre with about 40 CVs in your hand, walk in and ask for the manager in each place. Now most places will take the piss off, but go in and ask for the manager and try and get the CVs.
He went into Super Value and get the manager and the Dunn stores and get him to he said to give it to the office and so on. You'd think they'd send you back an email or a text or something.
I know, but a lot of them won't bother because they get so many kids coming in looking for jobs. I suppose they'd be there all day, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, listen, thanks for that, and get him to keep trying. Well. Just get him out there, keep trying, Roy. All right, he will do it. All right, thanks. Somebody said, I've just listened to you, not being able to get a job because of your address in Kilmore. I didn't say Kilmore, I said Edenmore. Was the whole Kilmore unemployed because of where they live? Well, if you're talking about Kilmore, a lot of them were unemployed because of where they live, yeah. I worked with plenty of men from Edenmore over the years, in the 60s and 70s and beyond, as plasterers, chippies, brickies, labourers, etc. You sound like you're ashamed of your roots and have now become a snob. The old saying, put a beggar on a horseback and he will ride it to death. I've never heard that saying before, but... put a beggar on horseback and he'll ride it to death. Anyway, no, I'm not ashamed of my roots. I'm just saying, unfortunately, Edenmore, where I lived, like Coolock and many other places at the time, back in the 70s and 80s, had a really bad reputation because a lot of people in Edenmore and in Coolock and other places as such were in jail. It had a bad reputation for crime. So when I went to a nightclub or I went for a job and they asked you where you lived, I used to say Raheny. I wouldn't say Edenmore. Because I knew I wouldn't get into the nightclub, or I knew I wouldn't get the job. It's as simple as that. Joe, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Joe?
How you doing, Lloyd?
You think young people don't have a chance?
No, not the way this country has gone. Not a chance.
Right, well, give me an example of what you mean.
Right, well, my young friend was working in a well-established shopping centre.
Okay.
And it's a big enough place. And what had happened was he got work part-time for the Christmas.
How old is he? How old is he, by the way?
He was 18.
Okay, all right, okay.
So, of course, he was walking in the place and he was doing fine, and they asked him to come on to a 6 month probation. He never stepped a foot out of line in the place. Never a thing wrong with the place. Always in on time, never late or anything like that. Always doing the work up to their standards. Then, of course, 2 weeks before his probation finished, he ended up turning and saying they hadn't got a position available to give him a job.
Yeah.
So they ended up letting him go 2 weeks before that, and he ended up hiring a foreign person to come in and do the job. Now, how do you turn around and defend people
saying that
the foreigners don't take the Irish jobs when that's exactly what has happened?
Let's be clear. I'm not blaming the foreigner, right? Because he just took the opportunity, right? But hold on, and I agree with you. And you blame the employer for abusing their position as an employer. But unfortunately, that is the law. And even when you go as far as you really don't have any rights in any job until you're there at least a year anyway. But they do abuse the position that they have, and you know, and when you're young like that, you will get, you know, unless they're a really good employer, you will get abused.
Why was all the builders and all that, 90% of them starting to lose their jobs against foreigners?
Back in the Celtic Tiger?
Yeah.
Because they were coming in and doing it cheaper.
Exactly.
Let's clarify that. It wasn't the individuals that were doing it cheaper. It was the contract companies that, you know, the larger companies, and I'm not going to start mentioning names, but you know the ones I'm talking about. They let a lot of their kind of crane drivers, banksmen, labourers go because foreign companies were hiring foreign people to do the job cheaper. So the contracts were cheaper.
But they're doing it cheaper and are doing it shite.
But that's, but that's a, but that's a matter of opinion, isn't it?
No, it's not. And I can tell you here now, one place from an area that you should well know, that had all the people had to move out of the place because of it wasn't.
Oh, I know, yeah, I know the one. I know the one you're talking about, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So you have all the foreigners coming in.
But I don't know whether that was built by people who were non-Irish or Europeans.
It was built by non-Irish.
Yeah, but are you talking about Priory Hall?
Yes.
But when was Priory Hall originally built?
Yeah, that wasn't that long ago.
It closed down in, 2011, wasn't it? I got to check in a second. I can't remember how long ago Priory Hall, that whole scandal was. Yeah, I think it was built around 2003 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, but why was it closed down?
Because they used cheap products, pyrite.
And cheap labour, and it wasn't up to the standard.
But that wasn't the people who, the individuals, who the brickies or the plasterers or whatever, that were doing it. That was the contract company who were hired to do it, who took a shortcut on building regulations.
Yeah.
And used a cheap product.
Yeah, but the builders are also to blame on that as well. Like, I mean,
there's another thing going up in Donegal at the moment. I'm not too sure. Mica, is that correct? It's called Mica. And it's a similar situation where they use this concrete called mica, which basically now is all starting to crack in loads of houses that were, it was used on. It's a similar situation to what happened with the pyrite.
But it wasn't a pyrite. It was a fire safety standard that was all the stuff and all the work was actually not above the standard.
But getting back to young, I know we're getting into a whole different topic, we can talk about that another day if you want to. I don't mind.
Yeah, but you're trying to defend about people when they're saying about foreigners coming in, taking the Irish jobs. There's two prime examples. There's another part of it where people are after coming in now, they're after buying houses and all that, now they're not up to standards, and they can't get insured over shabby foreign work. So, yeah, it is.
But it's not always foreign. But it's not always foreign work. A lot of those companies were owned. They were Irish developers that owned those companies.
Yeah, but Irish developers, which are bringing in people that are not up to the standard.
But all those regulations would have had to be passed by the developer. The developer is the one who chooses what way things are built. The guy that works down, you know, mixing the cement or plastering the walls or putting the bricks up, he's only doing his job.
But they're not trained properly on it.
I would argue with you that a lot of them are trained properly, but anyway, that's...
Well, hang on, you see, you're sending all the orders to get trained to be up to the top standards on it, and they can't get the work for it, because all these people that aren't top trained on it are coming in doing it at a cheaper rate, but they haven't spent all the years to get qualified over it. So, I mean, how can you justify that?
We're getting back to 18-year-olds, because generally speaking, they're not going to be the ones working on building sites.
Okay, we can turn around and say about the 18-year-olds, right? We had people that worked in bars and everything else, right? About getting jobs, and they were doing jobs and everything else, right? So then you had all the other people that was on the labour, and then when they brought in this CE scheme, so what did he do? All the people that were that owned the bars and hotel and all that, they got rid of people that were paid decent money.
By the way, I'm not going to disagree with you. Jobs Bridge and CE schemes can be abused, but in general. They worked very well. A lot of people got jobs. 62% of people, I think it was, who went on JobsBridge got a job.
No, but it didn't work very well because people that were in the job...
No, it didn't. Well, that's the statistic. 62% of people who went on JobsBridge got a job.
Okay, so how many people were in those jobs originally that ended up getting let go off the job and ended up back on the job?
There was employers at the time when JobsBridge was around, and I agreed with JobsBridge, by the way. We had three people in this building in JobsBridge who, actually, as far as I remember, all three of them got a job in the end. But anyway, I remember JobsBridge at the time, and I thought it was a great idea, but some people didn't. They thought that some employers were abusing it, and there was no doubt there were employers abusing it. And there are employers who will abuse CE schemes, but as somebody texted in earlier on who works with CE schemes, they told me that it's been very successful if you want it to be successful. If you want to go in there and you actually don't want to work and you're just doing it because the dole sent you to go, well, then you're not going to get a job out of it.
No, but I would agree with you if it was the case that you weren't taking somebody else's job on the basis of that. Yeah, I would understand that. But when you have people that was in the job 2 or 3 years that are getting paid the standard rate for working in that job, and then you have the social coming along giving the employer a subsidy to take on that person, and they're going to turn around and say, well, wait, what's the point of me holding you when I can get somebody for 10 grand less? Of course there's a problem with it. And the Labour should have stepped in on that. If you were going to drop somebody on the work part of it to take on this person, well, then you're not entitled to subsidise off the CE scheme.
OK, by the way, just to clarify, by the way, in relation to Priory Hall, yeah, sorry, it was, yeah, they were evacuated in 2011. That was a good guess, Niall. And they were built actually in 2007, which was, you know, right in the kind of bank smack where the Celtic Tiger was just about coming to an end. So they were built during the good times. Listen, Joe, I have to wrap it up because we got off in about 20 different directions there and away from what we're actually talking about in some sense. But I appreciate all the points that you made. A lot of immigrants coming in for very, very cheap housing and generous toll payments, encouraged by lefties. But, well, when you were talking about European immigrants, if that's what you want to call them, or Europeans coming into this country, Europeans in this country, actually non-Irish Europeans, so to speak, have the lowest unemployment rate in the country. So you're wrong. If you're talking about non-EU citizens, a lot of them would have the highest unemployment rate next to members of the travelling community.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hit.